The New South Wales and federal governments have announced their economic support package for small and medium businesses going through lockdown in Greater Sydney. There'll be cash flow boosts for operators and increased disaster payments for staff, not a wage subsidy as we had last year. So if you live or work in Greater Sydney, how is this lockdown affecting you? Whether you're a business owner or a worker, I'd love to know, how are you making ends meet this time around? Tanya Haddad is the director and head coach at F45 Training in Bankstown. Tanya, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, but Bankstown's one of the hardest hit areas in this latest outbreak. What's the mood there like lately?
Look, I mean, you can't say that, you know, people are frightened and a little bit uneasy, but, you know, we're trying to keep them settled and as feeling as secure as possible at this point.
And part of that is trying to keep the business going as it normally would as much as possible. What changes have you had to put in place this time around?
First time we got hit with outdoor training, so that was the first move we had to make, closing our doors, heading out and then heading outside. And then as of recent, we've actually had to take the business live online. So we're doing online recordings. Which is very different.
Yeah, how does it work for your members and your trainers being online as opposed to having that face-to-face contact?
I mean, ideally we're so used to the physical in-person interaction, but at this point we're doing Zoom online training. So we're pretty much delivering the same workouts, but over a Zoom and our virtual platform.
And how do the numbers compare, Tanya, when you go online?
Obviously, the decrease is there. It is different. These guys do want that interaction. The motivation level is different. It's hard to meet at this point. However, we did take a decent hit, but we're just trying to maintain and hold on to who we can.
Isn't it interesting, Tanya, in lockdown, some people say, right, I'm going to focus on what I can focus on. I'm going to do some more exercise. I'm going to take control of my training. And other people just go into a slump, don't they?
Absolutely. Look, it's so easy to let, you know, external factors get the best of you. Changes happen around us and, you know, people struggle to, you know, focus on themselves and knowing that they are in control of how they feel in these times. So that's something that we're really trying to enforce and deliver and really keep everybody in a positive mindset.
And of course, you know, there are people who are counting the pennies during lockdown as well and don't have the option. There are a few support packages available to some businesses, Tanya. Are you eligible for any of those?
Look, not as many as you'd hope for. Unfortunately, we fall under some of the brackets. It's definitely tricky with the staff as well, being subcontractors. But, you know, I wish we could have a little bit more support, but we're just doing the best that we can. So, you know, it's very minimal.
And so with your subcontractors, you've only got a few employees. What's your feeling about how they'll fare if this lockdown goes on beyond Friday, as it almost certainly will?
I can definitely say there's going to be a lot of sacrifice from my end. I have a great team and they definitely are a priority. I think this is all about longevity at this point. So there will be a lot of sacrifice, but trying to keep them on board as best as possible. And you know what? Doing my own research with the government just to lend to them, just to see if they can get support on their own end.
And we've seen some changes so that, you know, depending how many hours you work a week, the disaster payments will go up. Hopefully that will help some of the people in this situation. But Tanya, as someone who runs a business, how challenging has it been to stay on top of what is and isn't allowed this time around?
Look, it's definitely exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. I'm a very optimistic person. But there's no word of a lie that the lack of direction, there is no roadmap for us. We're dealing with weekly information, daily information. 1 minute we're essential, 1 minute we are not. We're indoors, we're outdoors, we're live. Honestly, we can't catch a break. I can't even map out the next few weeks for my own staff because of the lack of answers we are getting. It is quite contradicting, but it is what it is, I guess.
That's certainly true. Well, if you could have anything, Tanya, from, you know, in an ideal world, what kind of economic support would work for you and your business?
That's a good question. I mean, if it was in my control, I'd honestly just hope that everything would go back to, you know, what we thought was normal. Having my staff with full income, you know, not being able to cut it, being able to have the interaction with my members. But again, I'm a very positive person. At the end of the day, it's being passionate in what you do, you know. I like to think and be relentless in passion. I think if you're passionate about something, you'll do whatever it takes to make it work.
Well, and I hope that the structural supports are there to help that keep that passion afloat, Tanya. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All the best. Tanya Haddad, Director and Head Coach at F45 Training in Bankstown, one of the places most affected this time around. And we send our thoughts to everybody living there at the moment. Heading into Darlinghurst now, Aaron Edwards runs Bitter Few, a bar on Oxford Street in Sydney. Aaron, welcome back to Life Matters.
Hey, Hillary. I didn't think we'd be back here, but here we are.
I know. I'm very sorry to have to talk to you again. And, you know, it was really great talking to you in September and just getting that on the ground understanding of what it's like to run a business during a lockdown in Sydney. Because, you know, every major city is different and the lockdowns affect people in slightly different ways. We talked then about COVID-safe plans and restrictions and what they meant for business. How are things this time around? Is it the same or different?
It's definitely different. I think there's like an undercurrent of people being, I think, tired. this time around, I think the idea of pivoting and just sort of reinventing your business, I think it's been done. And people are kind of running out of, I guess, their pivots.
So, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because it was such a kind of spurt of creativity last time, people saying, hey, we're going to run a general store. Hey, we're going to do takeaway. I've got this great idea. Are you saying that the drive to keep the business afloat has changed, or it's just that kind of flatness that comes with being in lockdown?
I don't think it's a flatness of lockdown. I think if anybody was to start a small business or a business, there's a general timeline you work with. And look, we've always got a few bag of tricks that we like to play with. But I think, you know, in 12 months' time, most of us have used up all those bags of tricks. So, the average time to start a business is between a year and 2 years to get it to a point of profitability. And we're kind of being asked to do this every 4 weeks on any given week, every couple of months. So I don't think it's a flatness or lockdown. I think it's probably getting closer to the idea that, no business should have to reinvent itself every sort of 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, that's a quite an investment in admin time and brain power, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
It was heartening, though, last time, Aaron, to hear about the level of support you were getting from the community. What's it like this time?
It's still there, but I think even just touching on the last conversation you had, I think there's definitely a little bit more focus on what the individual's doing this time around. Like, there's definitely vocal support, but I think the physical support's definitely probably lacking this time, and that's okay. Like, everyone's in different situations, and everyone's got their own fight, you know, to get through this. But there's definitely, I think, well, I suppose we could just call it, people are just tired again. I think they've done their, their hurrah, and now they're just looking at getting what they need to get through the next week. So
are you saying people are maybe turning inwards a little bit and saying, look, what do I need to do to survive? Is that a financial thing, do you think, or an emotional, or a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. I don't want to sort of speak on anyone's behalf, but I think this time around, I think we were coming off the back of a very large support package. I think we're all kind of feeling a little bit elated that we've been supported and pushed through. And then this time around, we're kind of counting every dollar we push through and how we're going to kind of get to the other side. I mean, I know there's been something announced today, but we're still unsure of what that is. So once again, how do you plan for that, or supporting staff or the community, when we don't even know what we're actually working with? So I think that kind of trickles down a little bit as well. I think people don't know what to sort of chase if they don't know what the target is.
Yeah, I think the more detail on that economic support package is meant to trickle out in the media as the day continues. So I hope it brings you good news, Aaron. We're speaking with Aaron Edwards, who owns a bar called Bitter Few on Oxford Street in Sydney. And, you know, hospitality is one of those things that does tend to suffer the most during lockdown. As you said, Aaron, you know, we don't have JobKeeper this time around. We're not going to get a wage subsidy model. The government's gone with disaster support payments to staff and cash flow boost to businesses. How do you think your employees are going this time around?
Well, there was a bit more sort of, I guess, preparation with this one. We kind of saw it all coming. It was, you know, within reason, it was written up on the wall for us, ready to go. So I made sure all the employees that we have were, you know, aware of what was going to come, and just to start preparing for that. Everyone's situation is different. So obviously some people were very well prepared, some people weren't. The people who weren't as prepared, we're trying to find a way for them to remain employed. But even still, we've only got so many options we can pull out. But once again, hopefully with this sort of package coming out, we'll be able to kind of give them a bit of a roadmap to work with.
So how are you feeling about the next few weeks, or, God forbid, months, Aaron? what kind of plans or ideas are you thinking about?
Well, I suppose touching back on, you know, the idea of having, you know, a few tricks. Look, I've been working on things for on and off a year or so, but some of these things take time to develop. I think the idea of, I mean, the most traditional thing for us at the moment, if you want to call it tradition, it's been a year, but is everyone flicks onto being like an online bottle shop or an online delivery service or something like that. That's now become a fairly competitive space. So now we have to focus on something different. So look, there's a few ideas that I want to work with, but it does take time. And I think, once again, not to rely on necessarily the package that's coming out, but I need to know what I'm dealing with before I can sort of pull the trigger on any of these things. So yeah, there are ideas, but we need to know what we're working with. There's only so much money you can throw at these things before you start having to take some serious questions.
Yes, indeed. I did hear about one innovative business that was offering takeaway drinks in takeaway coffee cups. So that was very innovative. I'm not sure about the legality of that one, but
yeah, well, you could walk around the park with that one. So yeah.
Yes, you could. Theoretically, you could. So, Aaron, you know, if you could have anything in the world of economic support packages, what kind of safety net would work for you if, you know, if you are looking at 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks of this going on?
Look, I think it's very easy to say financial. I mean, it goes kind of without saying, but I think the biggest thing for me personally and the way we run our business is we just want roadmaps. I mean, you know, I think we've heard this all before. We're dealing with, you know, daily changes. It's really hard to make decisions when I suppose certain people in certain levels of government aren't really sort of making decisions that we're relying on to make these decisions. So I suppose, look, from the top down, we need to know what's going on. It'd be nice to know that there is a way out. There seems to be a lot of sort of talk as opposed to actual action. And then we're expected to sort of pick up, you know, the pieces at the end of it all. So I think a roadmap would be the nicest way to do it. We can work with these kind of things. We're a small business. We're used to ups and downs. We've been doing it for years, so to speak. So we just want to know what's going on so we can actually work out where we want to put our, you know, our time, personal investment and financial investment so we can work our way through it.
Yep, certainly those ups and downs have been concertinaed quite sharply in the last year and a half or so. Aaron, all the best for the future. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us again today.
Thanks, Hilary. Cheers, bye.
Aaron Edwards, owner of a bar called Bitter Few on Oxford Street in Sydney, and he's hoping there's his cheers soon again in the bars and clubs and pubs in Sydney. I'd love to hear how you're going. Greater Sydney, I should say. I've been reminded on the text message quite rightly that it's Greater Sydney that's in lockdown, not just the central area. If you live or work in the areas that are under restrictions, how is this lockdown affecting you? Whether you're a business owner or a worker, as Aaron said, have things changed? Is it different this time around? Harder, easier, just different. Our text message number 0418 226 576. Let's go to Macquarie Street. Jacob Martin's a barber and founder of Tate and Lyle Barbershop in Sydney. Jacob, great to have you here.
Good morning, Hilary. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm very pleased you could speak to us today. It's really great to get these little windows into what it's like for particular different kinds of businesses. And you're one of those businesses that's up close and personal with people. What's it like this time around for you?
This time round is obviously our second one. We opened just before the first lockdown.
Oh.
This one's changed slightly because we're not allowed to trade. The first lockdown we was classed as essential, whereas this one we're not. So obviously this time around we've got no revenue coming in.
Yeah, that is huge, isn't it? I mean, how have you been managing? Are you just crossing your fingers and hoping it ends soon?
Yeah, we're just still waiting on clear directive, really. Like, the biggest issue with us is the rent. Rent relief or any sort of jamming subsidies that we're going to get to help with that, especially being a shop within the city. That's one of our biggest overheads. And obviously, jamming clear directive for my staff as well.
Yeah, one of the things Aaron Edwards was talking about was that frustration that comes with not having a roadmap and being confused about what is and isn't allowed. Is that something you're experiencing too, Jacob?
Most definitely. It's always left down to ourselves to read the news, check up on updates and stuff like that. Whereas I felt like last time there was always like weekly updates, daily updates in regards to small business. I feel like we've sort of been left out a little bit in the dark in regards this time round, where there hasn't been a clear directive of what support we're going to be getting. And therefore, like exactly what Aaron said, we can't plan without knowing what support we're going to be getting.
And, you know, a lockdown stands or falls on how well everybody follows the rules, doesn't it? What are you seeing in Sydney about how well people understand the rules about public safety?
I still think there's it's clouded. The problem we've been seeing is with that government support, the $500, that's just not enough to live on within city. Like, a lot of my barbers that work for me, their rent is like $450, $500 per week. So there's like a sort of pressure on them to sort of try and find avenues to, to maybe get more money, or they're having customers asking them and throwing money at them to say, will you come around my house to cut my hair?
Can you bend the rules for me?
Yeah, can you bend the rules? Can you, So it's been very difficult for them. I'm trying my best, but obviously the longer this goes on, the harder it is for people to fall in line. It becomes sort of a survival thing, especially with a lot of my staff. They're expats. They didn't, the first time around, they didn't get the support. This time around, they've been getting the support. But again, it's $500 that if you've got to pay rent, bills, food and stuff like that, it doesn't really cover the minimal, essential living costs.
So it's been reported that that'll go up to $600 if you, generally work more than 20 hours a week. Would that help?
That will help. And then obviously we'll wait and see what the government and New South Wales government's business subsidies. And obviously I'll have to use that money to help them out as well.
Yeah, well, how's that going for a business owner if you're saying, look, I care about my staff, I want to help them, I can see they're in a dire situation, but I've got no foot traffic coming through, and I've been told I can't open. What's the future look like for you, Jacob?
It's very scary, especially 3 weeks now with no revenue coming in. We've tried to diversify the business. A lot of other small businesses have done. We tried to sell merchandise and stuff like that. But again, that's a very small and insignificant amount of money when it comes to sort of a long-term solution. Luckily, we're in a fortunate position where we have a little bit of money in the kitty, where we can help subsidise these people that are on visas and stuff like that that aren't eligible for certain subsidies. But yeah, it's very stressful time at the moment.
Yeah, well, the reports that there might be a cash flow boost of between $20,000 and $100,000, depending on the size of the business. And I'm getting the impression that you're not a ginormous business, Jacob.
No.
How far would that amount of money go?
It depends on how long it goes. Last time, I actually wasn't eligible for the amount at the time that it was given out. And it was only subsequently because someone took the ATO to call in regards to it. So we actually fell through a lot of the net to sort of help us. We fell through the gaps. And it wasn't until later on down the line that we actually got that money. But the $20,000, if it's a long-term sort of thing, isn't really enough to cover rent, bills, expenses and stuff like that.
Yep, inner Sydney rents. Jacob, I wish you all the best for the future. I hope that there's a brisk end to this lockdown. We've all got our fingers crossed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Hilary.
Cheers. Jacob,
take care,
Martin.
Bye-bye.
You too. Jacob Martin, founder of the Tate and Lyle Barbershop in Sydney, trying to look after his staff, difficult circumstances. You heard earlier too from Tanya Haddad from F45 Training in Bankstown and Aaron Edwards from the bar Bitter Few on Oxford Street. Now you're about to hear from Michael McKenzie, and by proxy, people who have written into us and texted and Facebooked us. Michael, what are you hearing?
Yes, well, let's start with Trevor, who wrote in from Hurstville and says, I'm a sole trader working from home with minimal inconvenience, but my partner works in hospitality at Sydney Airport. So there's no shifts for her now, on top of the end of JobKeeper and reduced hours since March. The household income, says Trevor, is less than 50% of normal right now for that household. Lee writes to say, please don't forget regional New South Wales. I have a hospitality business in Byron Bay, and we've been massively affected by the Sydney lockdown and border closures. We've had to let go of half of our staff. Someone else writes in to say, yesterday I had to go to pathology at My Health in Baulkham Hills, which is a suburb of Sydney, and they report very few shoppers, all distancing appropriately. Well done, Baulkham Hills. However, this person says the jewellery shop, though they had no customers, was open for business. And is that an essential service? With a question mark at the end.
Mm. That's a very interesting question. Yeah, and on that, Michael, that issue of the trickle-out effect, we're hearing a lot from border communities too about, the massive drop in tourism and through traffic that they're experiencing because of these lockdowns.
Yeah.
I imagine we'll hear more on that.
Yeah, Jane's actually got a really good point about living in Newcastle, which I'll bring to you later in the show.
Great stuff. Thank you. This is Life Matters.